welcome. And it's a good day to be here, and it's a good day for a little worship. It's a good day to greet all of you in the name of Jesus Christ. My name is Ginger Gaines Sorelli. I'm the senior pastor here at Foundry United Methodist Church. On behalf of all our pastors and our staff, we want to welcome you, and I have the privilege of doing that. So good to see all of you here today. We know there are lots of other places that you could be right now, and you've chosen to be here with us, and that's a great privilege and gift to us. Whether you're here in our sanctuary or coming to be with us for worship through live stream, we're glad that you've chosen to spend this time in worship and prayer and praise and reflection. We want you to know that on this special day, we are celebrating a number of things. Of course, this is the culmination of Pride Week, and here at Foundry, we celebrate that. We are a community that is very intentional about our wide and warm welcome for all people, and it is a privilege and a celebration for us to welcome and greet you today, no matter where you are on the journey. We also, on this day, are especially mindful of one of our staff members, Pastor Teresa Thames, who is having her last Sunday, her last day of worship. This will be her last Foundry worship service with us. And so that's heavy on, certainly on my heart and my mind today, and many of you too. Today we'll be celebrating her and sending her forward with our blessings. So it's good for you to be here with us. Whether it's your first Sunday here or you've been here forever, we're so glad that you're with us. And we want you to know that no matter where you've come from today, and no matter where you go when you leave here, no matter what you believe or doubt, no matter what you feel or don't feel today, and no matter whom you love, you're welcome to come just as you are, to be met by our God, who knows you by name, who loves you, who wants to have an ever closer relationship with you. It's in that spirit that we welcome you. Let us begin our time of worship with singing, and I invite you to stand as you're able. We'll sing together, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. join in our call to worship. Blessed are those who follow God's way. They are like a tree planted by streams of water. Like such a tree, we trust in God. We know that God always watches over us. You may be seated.
And at this time, I invite our children to come forward for our children's message. Come on down, Ava. Yes, you are first. Come on down. There's plenty of room. Come on, make your way. Yes, if you want to sit there, you can sit there too. Come on down. Good to see so many of you this morning. Hey, Pearl. So the one thing that's been so great about being here at Foundry is that I've been able to learn everybody's name. All of you all. I've been able to learn all your names, and I love it. Love it, love it, love it. So, I have a question. The older kids, I know you all know this, but what are some shapes? Do you all know shapes? Yes, what shapes do you all know? Brooke? Triangle? Circle, quadrilaterals. I don't even know what that looks like. Josie, octagon, yes. Sphere, like yes. You all are getting wet, yes. Oliver, I don't even know how to say that. Dodecagon. All right, so I'll just stick with the basics. My favorite shape is a circle. And does anyone know any facts, fun facts about circles? Yes. Circles have no start or end. Well, this morning is my last Sunday here at Foundry. It's my last Sunday as your pastor. And as I look over all of your faces, I'm going to start crying because for most of you, almost all of you, I remember when you were born. Or I remember baptizing you. Or I remember when you first started reading. Yes, you all were so, so tiny 8 years ago. And some of you, I prayed with your parents so that you could get here. And now this journey is over here. I will not be your pastor anymore. But just like a circle, just like circles, circles never stop. Just like you said, Tristan, there's no beginning, not Tristan. There's no beginning and there's no end to circles. Circles go on forever and ever. And out here, we make this circle, and it's our family. And so I ask you really quick, let's make a circle. Come on, quick, quick, quick. Let's make a circle. I need to hold your hand and be part of your circle. Oh, water got in her mouth. Everybody's going to be part of the circle. All right, if you have a hand, let's pray. God, I'm so thankful for this circle of kids and for this community of Foundry. Thank you all for making me an amazing, amazing part of this community. Thank you all for helping me to be a pastor, and thank you all for helping me to be a parent. So, God, we're so thankful for this circle here at Foundry. And even when I'm not in this circle anymore, I'm still part of God's circle. And all of God's children said, amen. So off to, where are you guys going?
Somewhere.
Somewhere. Sunday school singing. Have a great Sunday. you can hear the sound of my voice, clap once. If you can hear the sound of my voice, clap twice. If you're happy and you know it, clap three times. Church, clap two times. If you want the whole children's choir to give Pastor T a huge hug right now, clap three times.
Church, say amen.
Thank you so much, young friends. Thank you.
Friends, we welcome you again to Foundry United Methodist Church. If you haven't noticed, we love Pastor T here.
Yes.
We do have some folks that are first-time visitors with us. If you are, would you raise your hand? Our ushers in the aisle, all things Foundry. It tells you more about the life and ministry here at this wonderful church. You can pick one up now, or you can pick one up as you're exiting the sanctuary. We have some folks that have come to us from the south. We invite the youth group from Eufaula First United Methodist Church in Eufaula, Alabama. Please stand, friends. You're welcome here. Worshiping with us and some others at another sister congregation. Tom Dumas, where are you, Tom? He's the youth director. We appreciate you coming and bringing your young friends with us. And Susan Hunt, who is the director of mission and advocacy for the Alabama West Florida Conference. Thank you so much, Susan. Wave your hand. Please tell Bishop we said hello. And we welcome you all again and glad that you made your way to Foundry today. Friends, as we know, Pastor Teresa will be celebrating a new appointment. Her official start date is July the 1st. Her first Sunday at Chevrolet will be July the 5th. We love Pastor Teresa. We're sending her off with our prayers, with gifts of sorts, and a love offering. If you've not had a chance to make your love offering to Pastor Teresa, you can do so today. You can either write a check and stick it in the offering tray when it is passed. You can go online, or you can also do text to give. Whichever method you prefer, we ask that you would please just earmark it for Pastor T. Please, no cash, a check, a credit card, or some other means by texting. That would be wonderful. And everybody will be invited to celebrate Pastor Teresa in the fellowship hall. We'll say a little bit more about that towards the end of the service. Our LGBTQ potluck is today at 5:30 at the home of Bill Goff. Bluff and Daniel Channing. Daniel, where are you? All right, so if anybody needs any directions to the potluck, there the guys are, you can ask them. Pastor Ginger will talk more about our wonderful Pride celebration that we enjoyed on yesterday. Coming up on June the 19th, we have a wonderful opportunity to listen to the Rebels. Come on up, Greg. Jamie, this is Mike One.
So, don't ask me to come up because I sing with this group, the Washington Rebels Heritage Voices. This is a group that performs music from the Civil War era. So it is an honor to be able to sing here at Foundry as part of the South Bicentennial Celebration. So we'll be in full costumes singing music from the whole spectrum of genres from that particular period. This is a fundraising concert for the Bicentennial here at Foundry. So all the revenue raised through ticket sales will go to support Bicentennial activities. And Nancy here on the Bicentennial Committee, Paula, where are you? And a whole group of Tracy there. You're also doing a dessert reception featuring vintage desserts from that period. So we hope all of you can attend Friday, June 19th at 7:30 p.m.
Amen. Finished dessert or any kind of dessert is good. How about that? Friends, in the next couple of weeks, we want you to mark your calendars. Reverend Cynthia Moore Kakoi will be preaching here at Foundry June the 21st, so that's next Sunday. She is coming as part of our opt-in ministry. And Reverend Moore was the district superintendent here in the greater Washington area. She is now in the Baltimore area. We will be collecting a love offering for the mission and ministry that's being done in Baltimore. So Reverend Moore Kakoi will be here preaching following the service at the 11 o'clock hour service. There will be a gathering, Today's Intersection, Race, Sexuality, and Privilege. Chet Pritchard, one of our friends from a sister United Methodist congregation, will be here to lead that. We invite everyone to come and to participate. On June the 28th, Reverend Dr. Phil Wagaman will come back to the Foundry pulpit and will preach on the 28th. We will also have a commissioning for our youth that are going to be participating in mission and ministry throughout the summer. So please mark those, and we give thanks to God for those folks coming. And then again, friends, in July, we have a whole series of folks coming for our outstanding preachers. You can look in the back of the bulletin and see who is coming. You can also access more information on our website. As we turn to a time of prayer, in addition to what you have for the week, in coming weeks, we invite you to be in prayer for Reverend Don Lowe, who is recuperating from surgery. Reverend Lowe needs our prayers, friends. If you know him, please reach out to him, call or text or send an email, but let him know that you're thinking and praying for him as he is on the journey to healing. We have several congratulations to pass along. Pastor Ben, you see, he's not with us today. Yesterday, Pastor Ben was commissioned as a deacon in the North Carolina Conference. As of yesterday, he is now officially Reverend Ben Roberts. Thanks be to God. Hey, Ben. Just in case he's watching, which he probably isn't. And we have two small packages to celebrate. Congratulations to Katie and Patrick Rucker on the birth of their daughter, Margaret Macy Ann. She was born on Thursday, June the 11th. She came in weighing 8 pounds and 20 inches long. And congratulations to Dan and Mariana Bach. Dan is our board president. Wave your hand, Dan. New daddy. Of their daughter, Juliana Lynn. She was born on Wednesday, June the 10th. She came into the world 8 pounds, 2 ounces, and 20 inches long. We grow on big here at Foundry, which is beautiful. Friends, our kneeling rails are open. You are invited to come to make your petitions known unto God. Our choir will lead us in singing, and we will pray together, ending our prayer time with number 3 on the Lord's Prayer card. precious and loving God, we give you thanks for the beauty of this day and the wonders of all of your magnificent works. God, we are always mindful that all of our help cometh from you. And we celebrate that, God, on this day. God, we are also mindful that we are always to be happy, happy in the Lord for the things and for the ways that you move and breathe and bless us. We are grateful for that, God, because without you, we are at a loss. So thank you, Lord Jesus. And God, now we're also mindful of people that are struggling and that need help. We are mindful of people, God, that as they have traveled their journeys, that they have traveled knowing that they are not loved and accepted for who they are and for whom they love. And so, God, we pray that you would again put people in their paths to help them to know that they are not on this journey alone, that we are a people that helps one another, that strengthens one another, that guides one another. And all of that is made possible through you. God, we thank you for Foundry Church, because this is a church who have said that everybody is welcomed here, no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, no matter who you love, you are welcomed in this place. So help us always to remember that. So when people come through these doors, God, that they will feel the living presence of your Spirit among us. Now, God, we celebrate the births of babies, for in them is renewed hope and life. And we thank you for those small packages among us. God, I pause now to allow my sisters and brothers a time to make their petitions known unto you. Out of the depths of our hearts, we cry, hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Now, God, we also know that we have done things that we ought not to have done, that we have said things that have not been pleasing in your sight and that have hurt and have damaged others. And so we ask now, God, for forgiveness, that you would restore to us the joy of your salvation. And then, God, we pray your blessings upon your woman servant who will be leading another pasture. We pray for her and for her strength. We thank you for her love among us. God, as we gather our hearts and our voices, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Friends, let us turn our attention now to the reading of God's holy word.
This morning is from Jeremiah. Let us listen to what the Spirit is saying. Thus says the Lord, Cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose heads turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by a stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Before we reflect on the scripture text together, I want to take a moment to share a few thoughts about the experience that many of us shared yesterday at various points along the parade route. This time last year, I was, as I call it, a pastor without a country. I had finished at St. Matthew's in Bowie and had not yet arrived here at Foundry as your pastor. I came and marched in the parade. I had given away all of my St. Matthew's t-shirts, and so I didn't even have a United Methodist t-shirt to wear because I had given them away when I was in Liberia the last time. So I just came as me, and I thought, well, I'll just march. What was really fun was John Harden had posted a throwback picture, and he made sure we had a selfie even last year, so that was good. But what was such a blessing was to be able to arrive yesterday in my red Foundry t-shirt and to take my place among you and to serve this community with you. And what I saw not only yesterday but last year as I began to come among you was the extraordinary impact that you have in this community and upon people who may never walk through these doors, but who know something of the love and generosity and hospitality of God because of the way that you are in the world. You may or may not know that Foundry every year at the parade stands on P Street, and as people walk by, we go out with trays of lemonade and water to be a balm in the heat. And what we learned yesterday is that there are some schools who've been marching for years, and that some of the children say that of all the things that they could talk about and remember from Pride Parade, and as you know, there are many, but the thing that they always remember and talk about are those people who give us the lemonade, which is extraordinary, really, isn't it? And as Pastor T wrote yesterday in a reflection on our shared experience, when we're handing out the lemonade and the water and extending our support here along 16th and P, it's not just drinks that we're offering people, it's God's love. And so I want to thank each and every one of you who make that happen and who show up and who were present and share that no matter whether you were out here yesterday or wherever you found yourself yesterday. Together, that's what we share in so many ways. And I just want to say thank you, and what a privilege it is for me to be standing among and with you. As Pastor T said a little earlier to the kids, I'm just so stinking proud to be your pastor. So thank you for that. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that there is a balm in Gilead to nurture us, to heal us, to sustain us, to make us whole. God, help us to hear and to receive what you have for us this day. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. For you, O God, and you alone are our strength, our rock, our Redeemer. Amen. Who are we? What is expected of us? How do we know what we should really be doing at any given moment? Who's in charge? How in the world did we get here from there? And what's the point of it all if we're all just going to die anyway? These angsty existential questions knock about Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. The Tom Stoppard play, the Tony Award-winning play that's currently on at the Folger Theater in D.C. Anthony and I attended Thursday's performance. We ran into the whole Mullins clan while we were there. And after the performance, as Anthony and I were letting the whole thing kind of settle in, there was some silence as we processed. And at one point, Anthony broke the silence and said simply, and with a distinct tinge of disappointment, he said, "When you get right down to it, it's all about trust. It's all about trust." Perhaps you can appreciate the disappointment. I No, I certainly can't. I mean, after all, when's the last time that you said, woohoo, I'm going to make a life-changing decision and I have absolutely no idea if the outcome is going to be anything like I hope it will be? As Guildenstern says with considerable anxiety, I quote, "We act on scraps of information, sifting half-remembered directions that we can hardly separate from instinct." And in another time, he says, "Words, words, they're all we have to go on." The character called the player posits that, and I quote, "Everything has to be taken on trust. Truth is only that which is taken to be true. It's the currency of living. There may be nothing behind it, but it doesn't make any difference so long as it's honored. One acts," he says, "on assumption. One acts on assumption." Life is full of confusion and limitations, with decisions to be made, with unexpected twists and turns, and with no guarantees. We may wish that someone would tell us exactly what to do and where to go so that we can be sure, so that we can be safe. We may wish that someone would enter stage right and tidy up all the unanswered questions about our identity, about our lives, somebody who would come in and explain to us the meaning of it all. But that isn't the way things work. We know quite well. In the absence of certainty, some measure of trust is required, or else we go through life in a constant state of anxiety. Trust is the centerpiece of our scripture today. In what or in whom do you place your trust? Jeremiah contrasts those who trust in mere mortals, in those who make mere flesh their strength, with those who trust in the Lord. Those who put their trust in human strength can't even see when relief comes. Can't even see it when it's right there. But those who trust in God don't fear, even when they're in the hot seat, when things get heated. They aren't anxious, even in a time of drought, of want. Jesus also is consistent on this point, highlighting the problem with putting stock in mere flesh, particularly one's own flesh. I think of Eugene Peterson's translation of some words from Jesus' Sermon on the Plain in Luke. "It's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself will not satisfy you for long." Let's face it. In every moment of life, we are staring into the abyss of uncertainty, of the unknown. We simply don't know what is around the bend. We don't know what is going to happen, even in the next moment. For some of us today, like Pastor Teresa, the unknown is known quite well. The unknown is what life and ministry will look like, will be like, will feel like in a new setting for ministry. For those of us here, the unknown is what it's going to be like to not have Pastor T around. And others of us here, of course, will have some very clear unknowns that we're facing. Test results. A loved one's recovery. Where you will live, the results of a job search or a vocational direction at all. Where's the money going to come from? What to do with your life now that everything has changed? How you're going to finally figure out to manage that self-destructive behavior? Whether you're going to be forgiven? or the outcome of a new relationship. To some of us, the unknown may be what it will feel like to truly, finally claim our God-given identity without shame. Or what it will feel like, or be like, or what kind of reaction we will get if we choose to finally come out. All of these things are unknowns, and they're things that we have to simply wait for or live into, and there are no guarantees about the outcome. And it's hard. In the midst of all the unknowns, the question really is, where will I place my trust? These days, living as we do in an age where information is everywhere, we're very interested in what we can know, in what we can see, in what can be verified using a scientific method or Wikipedia. Knowledge, of course, gives us a sense of control and safety, and as a result, we often end up putting our trust in what we know or in what we think we know. Anybody here a fan of the Indiana Jones movies, the real ones? Yeah. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, in the last movie in the original trilogy, called Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, we find the adventure-seeking Indy trying to make his way through the booby-trapped caves to reach the Holy Grail. Remember this? Some of you remember this? His father has been shot and lays dying outside the cave, and the Grail is his only chance of survival. So Indiana, of course, has made it through all the first tests and has come upon a great chasm, and he can look across this ridiculously deep and scary looking chasm from one door across to the other, but he realizes that there is no way that he can actually leap from one side to the next. And all at once, looking at the little notes in his dad's book that were clues to how to make it through these things, he realizes that he is going to have to make the leap of faith. And I remember it as clear as day, all at once, and I can't show you this, but you remember his foot sticks out, you know? He's sitting there, and all of a sudden he steps. And when he steps down, there's solid rock under his feet. Even though an optical illusion had kept him from seeing that it was there, and as far as he could see, there was nothing. And yet, he extended his foot and took a step. And what he found was that there was a place to stand. If Indiana had relied upon what he could see, if he had trusted in what he knew for sure, namely that there was no way to get across that divide, then he would have remained stuck. He would have succumbed to human limitations and wouldn't have been able to provide a source of healing for his father. But in that moment, at the edge, Indiana Jones decided to trust that he could put himself out there into the unknown and that he would be caught, held, sustained. Years ago, I heard a choir anthem whose lyrics, an excerpt from a poem, have become a touchstone in my own life. And they speak powerfully to what we're thinking about together today. These are the words. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I might tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness. Put your hand into the hand of God, and that will be to you better than light and safer than a known way. Go into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God, and that will be to you better than light and safer than a known way. especially if we find ourselves at a point in life where God is among the greatest unknowns, how can we trust such a thing? How can we put ourselves in all our vulnerability into the hand of God, a God who perhaps we struggle to see? How can that be safer than what I know for sure? I'm reminded in conversation after conversation, faith is hard. Trust is hard. Trust is hard even when you're trying to trust somebody that you can see and that you know and that loves you. It's still really hard. And to put your trust in anything or anyone can feel so unsafe. And so the idea of stepping off the cliff when you can't see any possible way to keep from falling seems, well, probably not like the safest thing to do. But remember that just because you can't see a way doesn't mean that there isn't one available. Just because you don't know God or that you don't feel God doesn't mean that God is not there. Placing our hand into the hand of God is, at the very least, to acknowledge that there is something bigger than us. Call it the power of life or the power of love. And that power is strong enough to sustain and hold and nourish us in times of change and doubt and vulnerability and persecution and loss. To put our hand into the hand of God is an acknowledgement that we need help, that our self is not enough to sustain us, that human strength and knowledge are not enough. And from a Christian perspective, where human strength and knowledge and God's strength and knowledge are infinite, where human love and loyalty are finite and fickle, God's love and faithfulness are steadfast. When human beings turn away from us or can't hang in there with us, God always does and always will. And we can trust this because, thanks to Jesus, and counter to what Guildenstern says, we have more than words to go on. Thanks to Jesus, and counter to what the player posits, we act on more than assumptions. We have been given a flesh and blood life to show us what God is willing to do and to be for us. In Jesus Christ, we are shown that God wants to hold our hand, to walk with us, to encourage and to guide us through it all. In Christ, we are shown what our God is like, and that God is one who creates us in beautiful, diverse ways and spares nothing to show us love and to help us to be and to become fully who we really are. In Christ, we are shown what is possible when we truly and fully put ourselves into the hand of God. Peace and freedom, joy and reconciliation, resurrection. Human life is limited and limiting. There's only so much that we can do or be for other people. There's only so much that they can do or be for us. There's only so much I can do for myself or that you can do for yourself. But there's no limit to what God can do. And so, can I get a witness in here? Has anybody ever experienced this? Have you ever felt held by God when you were at the end? Because this is a testimony, you know? Pastor Teresa going on, and my coming here, and you're going wherever you're going, being a new dad, Dan, stepping out in a new project, putting yourself out there in leadership, Tracy. All the ways that we're going, with so much uncertainty. What I want to say and what I want us all to hear today is when you feel you've lost it all, God's kingdom is there for the finding. And when you're ravenously hungry, God's table is prepared before you. And when tears flow freely and feel like they'll never stop, the promise of a new day brings hope and joy. And when your leaps of faith make other people laugh at you, and they will, or hate you, and they will, then God just then cuts in and asks you to dance. And this means that you and I can continue the journey. It means that even when we feel insecure or uncertain, and even when we can't see the way ahead or are terrified by what we might find there, even when we've exhausted all our own strength and feel we cannot go on, even when we feel paralyzed by anxiety or grief or indecision, even then, and especially then, when we think we've lost it all, God will not only sustain you, but will bring you through. Trusting in God is not safe in the sense of protecting you from danger. Putting your hand in the hand of God is not safer because it's without struggle or confusion or pain or loss. But trusting in God is safer in the sense that what matters most, if you're able to do it, gets cared for. Trusting in God is safer than all of the familiar known ways of the world, because the way of God is a way that leads to a life truly free of the fetters of fear and shame. A life that is truly eternal because it's participation in the life of God who is eternity. The way of God leads to a life that's truly alive. Indiana Jones stood at the edge, and if he had relied upon what he knew, he would have stayed stuck there or would have had to take steps backwards. By making the leap of faith, he was placed on a path that was still dangerous, but that led him to grasp the mystery of healing and new life. Of course, our lives aren't Hollywood. And there's not always the storybook ending that we desire. But what we're given today, no matter where you are on the journey, no matter what you may be facing, no matter what the abyss you may be looking into, we're offered an invitation to place our lives into the hand of God, the God who knows us fully and loves us completely. We're invited to go into the dark and put our hand into the hand of God, Pastor Teresa, and to trust that God knows the way. May God give you grace to take a step.
Friends, we worship together, we pray together, we laugh and we cry together. We also give together, because in that giving, God blesses it and expands it for kingdom building. You are invited to give. Our choir will sing, and we invite the ushers to come. receive these tithes and offerings and expand them for kingdom building. Amen. We invite the congregation to be seated. We invite Pastor Teresa to come on out. We want to invite any of all the youth to come forward. You can make your way here, right over on the side. All of our youth that want to come forward, we know we have a few people that are going to be speaking. And friends, we know that a lot of people wanted to say a lot of things today to Pastor Teresa. You will have an opportunity to greet her upstairs during the fellowship time. We have a smorgasbord waiting for you out there, friends. So you're invited to come and to fellowship and share Pastor Teresa's time. We want to invite John Harden to come. John is going to say a word or two, and then our youth will make a presentation.
Good morning, afternoon, or two afternoons. About 2.5 years ago, I walked through these doors, and my life was in shambles. And one of the first faces I saw was Pastor T, and I immediately felt a spirit from Pastor T. I heard the love of Jesus Christ coming out of her voice, and I saw in her eyes God. And I was really struggling. I was really struggling in my life. And Pastor T said, "John, just give me your hands and hold on. You will be okay." And after 2.5 years of knowing her, I feel okay. I have witnessed the love of God. I have witnessed the love of Jesus Christ. And I have definitely felt the Holy Spirit that dwelt inside of you come to me. And she said, "John, one day you'll be able to hold someone else's hand." So from this point on, when I reach out and hold someone's hand to welcome them to Foundry, I will be forever grateful for you.
Thanks be to God. Some folks that are in college that probably want to participate. You come on up if you like. Come on. Come on. It's okay.
Sometimes.
Hey, we know you want to come. Yeah, come on. Come on up. Come on up.
Sometimes you meet somebody who changes your perspective on the world. You meet somebody who can bring light into the darkest of places with just their laughter. You meet somebody who is so kind and asks for nothing in return. Teresa, what you have brought to this church, I don't know how we can repay you, but I can say thank you. Thank you so much. Well, Pastor T, we in the youth group know how amazing you are. And it was only a matter of time that you would be asked to do amazing things elsewhere. Know how much the youth group will miss you as you leave and embark on this new journey. Your enthusiasm and personality cheers up everyone around. Thank you for being a youth mentor and for being totally focused and committed to our spiritual development. You encourage and help us get to know each other and to develop our relationship with God and others. You guided us through confirmation classes and lock-ins. You reminded us of the importance of service to others as we engaged in great days of service, Harvest of Hope in ASP. We had fun at movies and laser tag, ice skating and skiing trips, and holiday parties like your Super Bowl parties. You celebrated us as we went off to college. You have met each of us on an individual level, respecting our needs and requests. When I first met you, We have opened my mother and I with open arms. You checked in on me each Sunday, asking me how I was doing as I adjusted to a new city, a new school, and a new church family. You have always been available when I came to you with questions about my spiritual journey. You listened and shared your experience and guidance. Thank you for your insight and assurances. Always know the profound impact you have made on my life and the other youth. And know how deeply you will be missed. Thank you for the 8 years you dedicated to Foundry Youth. May your new work be amazing.
Show the congregation. Come on, friends. Come on. Yes. Turn it around. Now you show. Come here. Come up here. Stand up here. Go get Pastor Ginger.
So we're taking these moments together to do that and to share our love and our prayers with Pastor Teresa today. You'll find in your bulletin a rite of farewell. It's important for us as people of faith to practice rituals to allow us, to help us to begin that process of letting go. And this is one of the ways that we do that. So I invite you to pay attention to the words that we're saying, to listen to what's being spoken to us, and to pay attention to what we're speaking to Pastor T today. We'll share in that ritual, and then we will together pray a prayer of blessing for Pastor T.
I thank you, the members and friends of Foundry United Methodist Church, for the love and support you have shown me while I've ministered among you. I am grateful for the ways my leadership has been accepted, and I ask forgiveness for all of the mistakes I've made. As I leave, I carry with me all that has made us a strong community.
We receive your thankfulness, offer forgiveness, and accept that you now leave to serve elsewhere. We express our gratitude for mistakes. Your influence on our faith and faithfulness will not leave us with your departure.
I accept your gratitude and forgiveness, and I forgive you, trusting that our time together and our parting are pleasing to God. I release you from turning to me and depending on me. I encourage you to continue in ministry here, and I pray, will pray for you in your love of God, that you will love God, love each other, and change the world.
Amen.
I'm just not going to keep talking up here. You'll need to stop making me cry. Okay. We're going to pray for Pastor T, and the way we're going to do that is by making a bridge of laying on of hands. So if you're on the front row, we're going to lay hands. If you're here, we're going to just appropriately lay hands on someone in front of you. And we're going to make a bridge. So literally, y'all come out and come forward so that we're touching. There you go. There you go. There you go. And if you're up there, just send out your prayers, and we're going to pray for Pastor T a prayer of blessing. Gracious and loving and wonderful God, today we are blessed to be in the presence of your beautiful, your beloved, your powerful servant, Teresa. We have been blessed by her in so many ways, and we give you thanks that today we can simply take a moment to share our prayers, our love, and our blessing with her. We pray that your Holy Spirit would fall afresh upon her, that she would receive a fresh anointing as she goes to serve as the pastor at Cheverly United Methodist Church. God, make a way that is open for her to step in, to fully share the amazing gifts that she is and that she will offer to that community. Oh, God, make their hearts and minds ready and open and receptive to receive her and her family. God, we do pray for Delmas today. We pray for them together that as they take this journey and move into this new place, that they might never, ever forget that you are with them, that you go before to prepare a place, that you go alongside to give strength, that you are the ground under their feet, that you are the breath that they breathe, that you are the energy, oh God, that makes their heart continue beating and able to offer that to everyone they meet. Oh God, we thank you for Teresa today. And we thank you for the ways that she has touched each of our lives. God, continue to use her, this beautiful instrument of your Holy Spirit. Let its music play everywhere she goes. And may she be surrounded by your grace and upheld by your love this day and forevermore. She goes, O God, with the blessing and the love, the full power of Founder United Methodist Church. And that is saying something. Thanks be to God and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Stanley, y'all take us there. We go. Let's go. Let's sing. Leaning on the everlasting arms, my friends. Let's do it. Thank you.
goodness. Let God's goodness reign and shine in your life and then pass that goodness on. And for all the ways that you love and care and celebrate, know that you all, each and every one of you all, are amazing, amazing children of God. I am so stinking proud to be able to be your pastor. Have an amazing year, have an amazing journey, and know that I am better because of all of you. Amen.
Amen.